Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Now, so I've new tea for you this time.
What's this show called? Three cups, please.
Yeah, go on. Grab a cup there now.
Okay. And,
thank you.
Tell me what you think of that.
It's darker in colour now than the previous cup of tea that we had.
Last was green tea with elderflower.
Right.
Okay. Which is this?
This has definitely got berries like strawberries or...
Yeah, maybe, yeah, yeah. That's
cool. And there's vanilla in this. Licorice? No.
Oh, this is sweet.
Mixed berries and...
This is, yeah, berries.
Chia seeds or something.
There's strawberry.
I think I preferred the other one, but yeah, this is nice. There's definitely strawberry or raspberry or something in it.
It's lovely.
Blackberries,
very, very
maybe.
Very fruity, but just... Not overly fruity.
No, but it's not fruity.
What do you say when you're drinking tea? Not overly fruity.
No.
What would you say? There's an amalgamation of...
It smells fruitier than it tastes.
There's a hint of gooseberry meets blackberry.
Meets dundery.
What is it? It's
black tea with strawberry.
Strawberry, yeah.
But the black tea gives it that kind of a solid base, and the strawberry just finishes it off completely.
Have you gone away from the double espresso in the morning?
No, I still have a double espresso every morning, but that's just...
Yeah, it's nice.
So come here to me. I'm thinking about fairy tales, right? And the wisdom of fairy tales. Like they say that all these great stories like Jack and the Beanstalk and the... What are the other ones?
Rapunzel, throw down your hair. What's that one?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But the
Rapunzel, it's called.
No, that Rapunzel is in the tower. The Beanstalk is the beans.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Rapunzel's one called?
Her hair. Rapunzel is what it's called.
Is that the name of the drama?
Yeah, the drama.
Is that the name of the short story?
The fairy tale.
Well,
Rapunzel.
Her hair grows.
Yeah, do you remember doing those in first class?
The tower.
Rapunzel, throw down your hair.
Yeah.
Starring Leonardo DiCaprio, is it?
Yeah, and her hair has got the strength.
And he climbed up and...
Or something, but anyway, that they're supposed to be about other things.
Yes.
That's the vibe of them, that they present on one level as Goldilocks going into the house and finding one bed and another bed and the best bed and another breakfast and another breakfast and the best breakfast and all that. But it's actually about exploitation of the working class.
For God's sake. Right, go on. So what one have you been thinking about?
What's Jack and the Beanstalk representing?
Well, so the shaft, would it be...
The magic tree that goes up to the sky.
The stalk would be your...
It would be power.
Be puberty. Puberty, you get the first big horn. And at the...
No, it wouldn't.
No, nothing to do with that.
Of course it does.
Your man went off to the fair to buy the magic beans.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. His mother... So, his mother... The father isn't there.
How do you know the father wasn't there?
Yeah.
Because that's the story. The story is...
Just right, go and read the story.
Was he off at war or something?
No, he was just gone.
He didn't have a father.
So he didn't have a father.
So there's a connotation that he was fatherless.
Yes.
Not a connotation. He was fatherless.
But is that once upon a time there's a boy with no father? Is that what the start of the show? It's not, Tommy. It's once upon a time there was a farm.
Once upon a time, a long ago, a boy called Jack who was living with his mother.
Because his father eloped with a neighbour called
Francie.
Or
he might have been dead.
It doesn't say.
Who says? Right. So then the story is, they only have one cow.
Yes.
And the mother says, we've no food now, we need to sell the cow.
Reminds me of my childhood.
Really? So go into town and get a good price for the cow because we're poor. And Jack goes in and he meets this magical mystery tramp by the side of the road who says to him, I'll give you these magic beans for that cow. Never mind your money inside in the market. And Jack says, that sounds like a great plan. So he comes home with magic beans and the mother baits the fucking head of him.
With the frying pan.
And she takes the magic beans and she throws them out the window. Next morning, Jack wakes up and there is this cock to the sky. There's a shaft. There's a stalk going from where the beans fell up above the clouds. So he climbs up the shaft.
Can I sit on your lap when you're telling me this story?
So he climbs up the shaft, which is, you know, yeah. It's all about sex.
No, it's not.
Puberty.
You're the only person
phallic symbol.
No, it is not.
He climbs up to the top of the shaft, right? And he's in this other land. He comes to a big castle. A little woman answers.
How are you?
Jack says, I'm starving. Any chance of some food? She says, come on in. But there's a giant coming home. And if he finds you in here, he'll go mental. Jack hides, has a bit of food. The giant comes home. The giant takes out a chicken that lays golden eggs. The giant falls asleep after his dinner. Jack steals a golden egg. He goes up the next time, steals another golden egg. He goes up the third time and he fucking steals the chicken. The giant wakes up, chases him down the beanstalk. Jack is at the bottom. As the giant is descending, Jack cuts the beanstalk down with an axe and they all live happily ever after. And the mother says, that chicken actually belonged to your father. So that's...
So there was the reference to the father.
That's the story. But it means something else. I don't know what it means, but it means something else. It's about puberty and it's about...
But why is it about puberty? You're the only person that would take that from it, would you?
Well, Jack was only a young lad and he was given a big task to win to town.
Could you have a more obvious phallic symbol?
Or like,
just because it's a stalk.
But when is young lads these days given that responsibility to go in and sell the cow in town?
Well, like, not now.
You can't even get a lad to go down to a fucking centre to get a chicken roll.
No.
You can't say...
You're too literal, Hector.
No, but you can't. What other connotations are coming out of Jack and the Beanstalk?
What about James and the Giant Peach?
Not all sexual.
Look, what I'm saying is...
Is that he'd big balls or something?
Who?
Yeah, testicular cancer.
Yeah, James and the Giant Peach.
I don't know what these stories are about, but I wrote some fairy tales.
You did?
Yes. And I want to know if you can get the meaning behind them.
Okay, then.
Okay. These are based on fairy tales, but I've done my own twist in them. Halfway through, I change the subject or I change...
I have to say, it's always better when you... We discussed a week ago about a programme that you watched about being locked up in jail.
Yes, banged up.
Yeah, but I watched
Did you watch it?
I have to say your narration of it was far superior than the actual programme itself. So I would rather watch it vicariously through you in future.
Okay. Well,
this is why the story will be more exciting.
Tell me, do you get this first fairy tale?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now, once upon a time, there was a nice pot of fat under an altar inside in a church and was put there by a cat and a mouse to tide them over the winter. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first line.
One day in the middle of spring, did the cat come and licked the top of it? Now, it's supposed to be for the winter, but this is in the spring this happened.
Oh.
The cat came and licked the top off it and the mouse was watching through the stained glass window and he didn't say a word. Another day, the cat came in and ate half the fat and the mouse was looking into the stained glass window and he didn't say a word. The last day, the cat came in and he ate the whole lot of it. And the mouse come up and says, hey, you're after eating all the fat. And the cat ate the mouse. And the priest was outside putting flowers on the graves. Now for you.
So it definitely had a start. It had a middle, but the end...
reminds me of parish churches around the country.
Now, is that a great story?
Now
can we break that down?
What are you getting off that?
Okay, so the cat was the symbolised the wealth and the
greed. Yes, Larita, yes.
And the mouse was just a poor person going to mass every...
looking in the window.
Putting in the money into the basket.
Yes.
The fat cat licks the fat while the poor parishioner looks in the window.
And what was the priest doing? Let me read the last line again.
Read it again.
The last line is, and the priest was outside putting flowers on graves.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretending. He didn't know what was happening.
He was letting it all happen.
He was more interested in the dead than the living.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And he was showing off. Look at him putting flowers on the grave. And the great priest.
And who cared for the cat or for the mouse? Nobody.
Nobody. That's it. Story time with Tom.
When I worked for Cláis na Mhian, when I failed in Trinity University, I went and worked for Cláis na Mhian, the summer college crowd that I went for. And they had a few quid in the bank. And they bought a big building in Monkstown 4 Clifton Terrace. And it was one of these mad Georgian big houses that looked out on Monkstown Dart Station and out on Dunleary Harbour. And it was 4 floors. And on the top floor, there was a whole sort of an area where people from...
They must have been raking it in.
There was thousands of children going to Colossnaveen in the height of it. Teenagers. Four or five or 6,000 kids through the 70s and 80s and 90s.
3 months of the year.
3 months of the year, 2 months of the year. And the price was going up back in the day. It would have cost 50 quid to go to the Gaeltacht when you started, or 30 quid back in the 70s, going up to 200 to 400. Got more expensive, but there was a lot of money being made. There was thousands of kids going to Colossnaveen. It was the biggest Gaeltacht summer school in the country, and I was involved in it. I started working with them. But this house in Clifton Terrace, and any time I drive by, near the Purty Loft, the Purty Kitchen, as you drive along the seafront, the Lambert Puppet Theatre was right beside it. Never forget that, Bosco and the Lambert.
Wonderly Wagon.
Wonderly Wagon, and what's his name, Ted? What's his name, the dog?
Is it George?
George.
George.
How are you going?
Fine, all right, yeah.
There's a judge in every bar, isn't there?
How you doing now?
Did you win the football, did you? Did you feed the dog, did you?
Ask quo.
What was it? Look one, look for a safe place. Two, don't hurry, stop and wait. Three, look all around you. Before you cross the road, remember, let all the traffic pass you. Six, and walking straight across you.
Six, and walking.
That's the safe course code.
Anyway, George. They were Lambert Puppet Theatre, and out the back, there was a garden and a photocopying machine, the garden shed. Because there was so much paraphernalia around the summer colleges back then, they were running 10 and 12 colleges at a time during the summer. Thousands of kids. I started working full time for them. So for the first one, I was looking for accommodation. I stayed on the top floor of this Georgian house in this sort of a dorm area with 9 single beds. Lads from the country could come up, and if they were our son, Lakusha, all for the cause, you could stay on the top floor. And the Top Hat in Dunleary was there where bands were playing, and the Purty Kitchen. And we were down in Dunleary at a place called Scott's, and a disco bar, and Southside Dublin. And that was my, Goggins's pub was my home and all this. So I lived there for a couple of months. It was a massive, there was always this sweep.
And they charge you?
No, because I was working for Colossnaveen.
In the summer?
Yeah, and in the wintertime, I would head off with my maul on my back. And for a Monday, I'd be in Castle Carrickmacross. On a Tuesday, I'd be in Castle Blaney. On a Wednesday, I'd be in Dundalk.
What, teaching?
Teaching them during the winter to keep them in these youth clubs, Osgoilge.
Okay.
So I would go to, so instead of them losing all their Irish during the summer, Colossnaveen were different. I was a Timra, which is like an old style travelling teacher who would keep it all going. So all the kids from Dundalk and that area that went to the colleges would come to a youth club area, like a hall in the local parish hall. And then I'd have 7 to 9 o'clock. We'd have Cayley, we'd play sport, we'd have a chat, all Osgoilge. So we'd keep their Irish during the winter. So I was on, I did that for 4 years. I would travel in the northeast of the country, Carrickmacross, Castle Blaney, Dundalk.
And how would you go from place to place?
Bus up. And hang around and go to a place called the Greenmont in Castle.
Would you stay in those places for the night?
Stay in those places in B&Bs, and I'd find places that would do a good lunch, and I'd be in the town at a bit.
And they'd give you a couple of quid for doing this, would they?
Yeah, I was paid. Okay. I was paid maybe 100 quid a week at the time, or whatever. I don't know. But I was a young volunteer for the cause.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was for the cause. So, Clifton Terrace used to be brilliant.
You were like the Martin McGuinness of... language.
The language. Let's just say there were a lot of volunteers. We were all mad into Irish. But the crack was good. There was a little kitchen at the back of it, but there was 4 floors. Down the bottom, there was a little sort of a tuck shop. A
couple of English soldiers.
Tucked
away. Tied to chairs.
There was a pool table right down in the basement in the dungeon, down deep under the ground. This was one of these Georgian houses. Worth millions.
Oh, yeah.
Millions. The culture lawn was just up the road where was this... The epicentre of all things Irish and music was the culture land. Cultus Cultori Air and Headquarters was only 3 streets away. Skull Lurkon, one of the first ever Gael skulls in Ireland, the Hothouse Flowers went there, was just up the road as well. So even if you were in Monkstown, a real Southside Dublin area, there was loads of Irish. From Skull Lurkon, they created Colossta Isagon and Colossta Own, two of the most well-known, biggest secondary schools in the country. And anyway, so that was where I was hanging out. But the building was huge, and because there were so many kids going to the Gaeltacht, they would have an office and I would have keys to all the stuff. And when I knew I was leaving Colossnaveen to go to live on the Aran Islands, and I'd done my 4 years as a Timra, I'd saved £5,000.
What?
£5,000 I had in an Irish permanent account.
You spent 4 years doing that?
4 years travelling the country, yeah.
So you had 5,000.
I had 5,000 pounds saved in the Irish Permanent and Dunleary.
That's a lot of money then.
Yeah, because I was getting a per diems. Like they would give me £20 or £10 per day for dinner or whatever. They would pay my B&B. I was saving because I was living in the room, living in the house. But it was always a thoroughfare of lads coming in off the bus and girls coming here. And look, the crack was good. The crack was really good. And it was always like I would have many, many romances around that time of girls that I'd met in the Gaeltacht, and then they'd come up for a weekend to Dublin, and almost like a hippie. It was almost, if I can,
a commune.
It was like a commune. Yes, now you got it. There was many, many girls from Dundalk, and Leitrim was a great well.
Now would they not have different
of fertility
derelict dialect down there?
There was one girl that would come from Leitrim all the time,
and go
once
on.
Or twice a month.
Oh, she was a regular.
She was a regular, yeah. Yeah, and she'd come up to Dublin.
What was her name?
I can't remember. We were all
Irish names.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Shikra.
No, it wasn't like that.
Lechra Gael.
Lechra Gael. Anyway, it was all a mad commune type. Gael, yeah, brilliant. But at night time, all the office workers, Moira, who used to run the front office in this big Georgian, and she'd have all the students, all their information, all their application forms. Every time you go to a course, there'd be your marks, there'd be little pictures of you. It was like there was a dossier on tens of thousands of students.
The fucking CIA.
So that would be in Moira's room, and she would lock it.
Oh.
And Moira would be in charge of all the, hello, Kalosh Naveen, Kiachwulto. Hello, I'm ringing from Longford. I'd like to send my two teenagers to Garwalia for July. Okay then. Have you ever been at the college before? No, we've never. Okay, we'll send you out the forms and we get you in. Yeah. So there was money. It was churning money. There was 14 or 15 people employed full time, right?
Jesus.
And then the bosses used to live on the, or had their offices overlooking Dunleary Harbour. And they'd have big plush offices on the third floor. And this was like 1989. Yeah, 88, 89, 90. I moved to the Aran Islands 91. So anyway, at night time, there's only me and another lad, and we'd have to run of the house. A four-story Georgian house in Monkstown. Will we be round in Goggins's pub by 6 o'clock, drinking pints of cider, and Tom Dunn from Something Happens is sitting over in the corner in a paisley shirt, and we'll be going. Because I'm mad into Emotional Fish, Something Happens, Take a Parachute, and jump.
Yeah.
That was his local, so it was brilliant. Anyway, back then we'd go to the house and people would stay over, and it was like Fawlty Towers. It was just madness. There'd be people running down stairs half naked and people coming out of rooms. And Freddie used to stay with us the odd time as well. Freddie used to pop in.
So there was mayhem at night.
Mayhem at night. So anyway, when I knew I was going, I said, I'm going to see what I need to take from here.
Oh, as collateral in case.
No, not really collateral, but I knew they had a dossier on me. Because I had been going to that since I was 9 years of age. I'd given all my teenage years. I devoted it to Kalosh Naveen from the age of 9 till the age of 22, 23. It was my life.
You wanted to redact all the information.
So I wanted to see where was my... So I went into the office. I snuck in. I got the key of the office one night. I went into Maura's office. Massive big Georgian door. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Torch.
And I knew that somewhere...
It was like big roll books, was it?
Yeah, I have it. I stole it. And I knew that my file from when I was a little boy and Trina's handwriting...
Oh, no.
30, and notes and all.
And notes about me and pictures of me as a 13-year-old.
Oh, creepy.
And pictures of me as a 10-year-old. You have to have a... Like, there was a dossier on the children. Kalosh Naveen was... This was fairly hardcore. If you spoke one sentence of English in Rule 1 college,
shot.
You are gone. Like, I am... I am is a full sentence. People were being sent home religiously and regularly because they spoke. And then the continuous, defiant speaking of English means expulsion.
Yeah.
And this is explained to the parents. Okay. Then you go to Rule 2. If you didn't have good Irish, you go to Rule 2 colleges where you are trained to go to Rule 1. So Ratcairn was a Rule 2. The continuous, defiant, open speaking of English will mean immediate expulsion. So I worked my way through Rule 2, got better at Irish after 3 years in Ratcairn, went to Garbally College for 4 years, 3 years in a row. Lived in Garbally 3 summers or 4 summers in a row, where I was speaking in Rule 1. My Irish was great. But I knew there was a dossier on me and I went into this. I knew.
It's like a medical report.
I went into the office. I had to run at this massive spooky Clifton Terrace for Ardon Clifton. So I was in there one night, opened the door, and I knew then that I knew, because going in and out tomorrow, I would bring her in Swiss roll and I'd wine her and dine her and go, Moira, kia wiltu, come on, Hector, kia wiltu, oh, tamay gimach the nishka mwinachan, or while I cup on tasel and imor me, kent on a bus. So I'd have to go into bus hours, but before I'd have a cup of tea and I'd sit in her office and then I'd say, Moira, call in the Shan files. What's that in the Shan? Call in the Shan files, Moira. And I was like, Muff files. Oh, needig, shock to walk, shock to knee, octo, octo hain, octo do, octo. Ah, Hector, ton the Shan files. I'd say, couple to duck yon. She opened this, went over to the corner of the room. She loved filing cabinets. And she would pull out a filing cabinet and meticulously, she would have files and dossiers on every child that went through the hands of Cailleach Naveen, the children that sang out Ron Naveen, Bol Fenian men. Because back when you had to go to Cailleach Naveen, I had to learn the Mass in Irish. I had to learn the Creed in Irish.
Could talk about the Riot. Can and Thal of Marnitra and
yeah. That's our, that's that.
On the Ron Lehu, Tour de New
Is that not Shade of Ahu? That's Shade of Ahu. The Creed would be Guimene Advimene Diawan and Taharilla Kochtok, the Ninavagus Talav, Oxanilini Soeka Gustoeka, Oxanain Tierna Wan. I had to learn the Creed in Irish when I was 11 years of age. And then we'd raise the flags standing in Paraj.
Oh, yeah.
Paraj! Paraj! Ara! Chasit! Rosh! I should have 11 year olds. Ardeeter on Brotok no Shunta! And we'd sing the two verses of our on the vein. And then. Ardeeter on Brotach on Chvoshta, Jigori Shina Tar Sonne Heron, Egfaulum Se Great Sacht. So everyone would sing that morning and night.
Stop.
This was, you know about my camping down by
lockdown. Yes,
pure hardcore.
So anyway, didn't I?
So you knew you were never going back now, that's why you took this.
No, and then I took my dossier.
It's not written on the back.
In my hand. These are my.
Come on then.
These, so fuck this is me. My dossier. And
this is like the CIA file on Che Guevara.
If you look back at some of these, I want you to look at it. My mother has written a letter to say she was struggling to pay the money, the £20 or the £30. She wrote a handwritten letter in 1978 saying she's struggling to pay the £30 for each of the boys. Can she pay it in instalments? Isn't that
so? The letters.
Do you look at it?
Yeah. So if you go back around, you'll see photos and all that. And see, wow. So it's a card. Every time you went to the college, you got a card, and then you had your
phone. Oh, on, Sean.
Now
number.
See the way I spelt it.
Yes,
Cheyenne.
Okay,
go
Hector.
Go right back.
Your first question. I'm gonna ask you questions on your own things.
This is my dossier.
Okay.
My file.
Your first question is: are you ready for this? What was the home phone number?
29803.
Correct.
And then you had to put down your auntie's phone number if something happened in the college.
Auntie Ray, was she down?
Auntie Anne and Auntie Ray's numbers are there. 23719, 25716. Auntie Ray.
What was the code for an oven?
046.
046.
046. So if you look at some of the forms, Tommy, right?
So the forms are the...
Are the things stuck on them. And
the
yeah.
white bits of paper.
But are they
that's,
in
that's
Irish?
That's my writing, Tommy. You open up there and you'll see my writing from fifth class saying I'd like to go to the college. If you open up some of the white forms, you'll see.
Okay. Sean, this is your handwriting. Skullwir Anuv. En route to Igalash to own E Groundy.
That's Rakan. Yeah, are we ever in Rakan? V.
Oh, Jesus. V.
Are they all in Irish? Can I take all the letters?
Yeah,
Does
yeah,
it come out?
Yeah, they do come out. Take
that
out.
Doesn't come out.
Yeah, I want to
no,
show
it, but
it unfolds.
Yeah, it unfolds, yeah. Tommy.
Okay. Achara. Jesus, this is. Matt O'Brady. Is he the fella that is the Sinn Féin fella?
Yeah.
Matt O'Brady. It is Matt O'Brady. Matt O'Brady was the man that was my boss for years.
But what's his name? Matt
Seamus O'Brady was his father. Yeah, you're talking about Matt O'Brady, which we very, let's just say, a very well known political figure up north.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The O'Brady's. Rory O'Brady was his dad, who was the commander of the IRA.
Oh, right.
Basically.
This is all in Irish. Actually.
Oh, so you can't read it then.
Tugum fui jara nor hastel tu e chrinu on 4th of the 587 mara iri earth. Gleig tu mar cian dorth kinnari ne flanon lunasa ave a feich an jenia chrissi come on the vein
er in Gersigen. I didn't go to a meeting, so he said, it's come to my
attention. A meeting? What happened at the meeting?
It's come to my attention that you haven't turned up at a meeting, but that was Matt. But if you go back, you'll see. You'll see pictures of me and all.
Oh my God.
Look at the pictures of me as a 12-year-old.
You're tall, Hector, for your age.
Look, there's my pennies. There's my pennies jumper.
You're all the style now, Hector. You look like a next model.
Keep going back. The Kyogans were always thin. The Kyogans were always thin until we found weights. But there's pictures of me as a tiny little boy 7 and 8 years of age.
I'm afraid to move this stuff in case it gets...
Isn't that mad, the dossier kept on you? And then there's comments on it. There's a lovely comment. Ladin Biog Rua.
A poem?
No, this... it's one of the principles...
That's beautiful, Hector.
One of the principles of the place said... On your coat, it's like a what was the report card? Do you remember?
Yeah, just like a big massive report.
So
card.
They say at the back here, 1980. Look at me.
Sure.
You look sensitive, Hector. And I don't remember you as being sensitive at all.
Sensitive.
Look. There's look.
Show us that one.
Look at that one.
Beautiful boy.
Fine.
And then it says, "Ladin Biog Rua agus Nyart Gaelgege," at 9 years of age.
Wow. Okay,
that was.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But anyway, how did you end up with that now, today? So you took it from that place and you brought it out to Inish Mian with you.
No, I didn't take this with me. So this is
your mother's letter?
This is my mother's handwriting. And when I look at my mother's handwriting, I see her face.
Yeah.
Do you see? Would you get that? Do you find anything?
Well, bring me right back, yeah.
Bring you right back to you. My mother loved writing. My mother, all Irish mums had lovely
handwriting. And they had lovely handwriting, yeah.
Okay, so here it is.
It was all joints.
This is Trina. This is... Fucking Lord rest you, Trina. But this is her handwriting. Tommy, date is on the top. Give it the whole shebang.
So, the date is the 10th of the 4th, 1984. So we're talking before Live Aid.
We're talking before World Cup.
Who's on Top of the Pops?
Bananarama, Midjour, Funboy 3, Ultravox.
The Specials.
Specials. 1984.
Dear sir, enclosed is the remainder of Derek's fee from Kalosh to Fawrick, also 30 quid, to be taken off Shane's fee for Garwalia. As I have 3 students involved in Cláiste na Mhian, total 460 quid.
A lot of money.
I'm finding it hard to have it all paid in time. I will clear the remainder as soon as possible. Thanking you, Trina Keoghan.
How does that make you feel,
God
reading that
Almighty.
Back now?
She was the woman that made the decision for her boys to go to the Gaeltacht.
Yeah.
And she was the woman that opened the door for my Irish language.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the woman who said...
Do you think like...
At
no,
9 years
God,
of age, Loretta,
like, yeah.
At 9, she sent us away. I was gone at 9 to Tivree, Johnny and Rackarn, even though it was only 14 miles away.
And was she an Irish speaker herself?
She
or
heard
was
it when she was younger.
Okay,
and
so she wanted
her
to be good at it.
Speaking it back at the back of tune when she was younger.
And she didn't get the opportunity to
and
do
she
it.
Said,
so
my boys will have the Irish language. What
but just reading that now, isn't that would nearly make you emotional?
Absolutely.
Thinking that, like,
absolutely.
Do you know what she must have had to do for all that money and
that
have
was huge
the work
money back then
that she would have had to do to make sure that was paid?
Yeah, and every year the price of the summer college got more expensive.
Like
and
that's a lot of money now. That'd
now,
be like
now
I'm sure
we
can come
euro
to some sort of an arrangement to clear the remaining debt, if you know what I mean. Thinking of you, Trina.
I did not say that.
Do you know it's €1,000 now? It's €1,000.
That's why they kept Hector upstairs.
My goodness,
he was isn't washing it the dishes. It's God, isn't
and then that's... and then I started running the clubs in Dublin.
But that would be like €1,500 an hour.
At 20
like
years of
460
age,
460 quid in 1984
would have been even more than that now.
After doing 2 or 3 years touring the Northeast like a little travelling Wilbury, I became in charge of the Dublin clubs. So Dublin was where most of the students
see, Hector,
were.
You could have been the leader of the free
so
world.
So I'd have a club in Clontarf, I'd have a club in Clondalkin, I'd have a club in, we'd use Glenalbin, which is the home of the Kilmacud Croaks. So every Tuesday I'd be in Clontarf, every Thursday I'd be in Clondalkin, every Wednesday I'd be in Glenalbin. So I used to run the Dublin clubs. And then on Friday, Friday night, I would have the youth club Osgoelga in Clifton Terrace, where there were hundreds of teenage Gaelgeoirí coming. And we had such good fun. And some of the lads that I were under my stewardship, where they were Coontoree and Ard Kinry, they went from Coontoree. I found them as Dalty. They were really good Irish speakers. Then they became a Coontoree. Then they became an Ard Coontoree, a high prefect. And some of them then went on to work for Cláiseann na Bhean. But one of them in particular, a lad called Julian Despawn, who used to come to my club on a Friday. And I kept giving them the reins and saying, now next week we'll do a little improvisation Osgoelga. Or next week we'll have a fancy dress Osgoelga. And that young lad has been the head of Conor na Gaeilge for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And he is one of the great movement people in Ireland. Julian Despawn is his name. He's been the head of Conor na Gaeilge. He's taken Conor na Gaeilge.
What's his surname?
Julian Despawn.
The Spawn.
Despain. Julian Spain.
Oh, right, okay.
You'd know him. He's got frizzy, funky hair. He's a great, great man. And he's taken Conor na Gaeilge from the back streets of round Dublin.
Calcutta.
To fucking rising as we need more funding and we need the Irish language. He's an amazing man. And I met him as a 14-year-old student and he was under my tutelage. One of my many...
Protégés.
One of my many volunteers that are still her son... Nakusha.
And what has happened to Cláiseann na Bhean?
Cláiseann na Bhean is still going, but really? It's downsized because they used to take over boarding schools like Flannans, Jarlett, St Mary's, Garbally. They used to take over Knockbeog, Knockbeg in Carlow. And then they took over Warrenstown Agriculture. They bought Warrenstown Agricultural College.
In the north?
Warrenstown. Warrenstown near Gormanstown.
Okay.
And they would also
Warren Point, I'm thinking of.
They would have two of their main local dialect places was Rathcarn and Rossmuck. And that was the Gaeltacht ones. And then they would have boarding schools all over the country. So by the time, when I was 15, I was hanging around the boarding schools at night time in St. Mel's in Longford. And I was on an adventure from the minute I got out of St. Pat's. From the 1st of June.
But isn't it amazing the amount of freedom you had from home?
Oh. Yeah, what would you be like now if your boys were...
Do you think now that... So mum and dad were at loggerheads.
Yes.
In the home house. So do you think that's part of the reason why they said...
I think she knew I was safe.
If we get Shane out the road, he'd be grand. Yeah. And I'll deal with whatever's happening.
Yeah.
Here.
And I think that Freddie went for a couple of years. Mark went for a couple of years. But I was the one who was big into it. I found my feet and I found my Irish and I found that I could be myself. The crack was good during the year at home in Navan. Brilliant crack, don't get me wrong. But I knew there were more bounties and treasures ahead during June, July,
August. So the boys didn't ever pursue it.
No, not as mad as I did. Because Freddie did the leaving, God bless him, two or three times. And I caught up with him by the end. But I just knew that the Irish language, that once I got to June, I was gone and I was on an adventure. And I knew I was probably going to fall in love. And I knew I was going to get the shift. And all the rest.
Oh, can you imagine?
Girls coming from Blachleah, August Corkig. And I can still remember their names and I still remember...
But it was just yourself.
I still remember.
You didn't have other lads with you.
Back in them days, girls had knickers with Days of the Week written on it as well.
Jaloon, Jamort, Jacadian, Saren.
Oh, the Saren.
The Saren, August Jahina.
No name was the...
Jahina.
Jahina. So I knew that I was... Let's see, I was free, as you say. Yeah. Trina knew that I was safe. And then, obviously, I was so much into it, I started working full time for them. And then, this is way before TG Carr ever started, and way before. And then from there, I went to the Aran Islands. But I just rooted that out yesterday because I knew there was a dossier. It's just funny when you look
at it. Have your boys got that grow for Irish?
They went to Rossmuck for a couple of years in a row, and I'm sad the pandemic stopped because they were out there 3 years in a row. And it was social skills they were learning. They were learning to be themselves. They were learning to communicate. Yes, they were learning Irish, but there's so much more to going away for 3 weeks. Somewhere on your own. I said, 11-year-old, 12-year-old. Now you wouldn't even let them up to the football pitch on the bike. Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Trina would just let us go. But you always said it.
I think the freedom is huge, man. That's what I always say.
Yeah, you always say she never stopped your adventures.
Oh, no.
Fucking, and Tommy, I swear to God, I am, Lurie, taking that on board with my boys. I don't ever want to stop their adventures. Now, last night, Shane said, I think we're going to Santa Ponza for the leave cert. We might do 2 weeks. I said, what? 2 weeks?
And I just He'd be really delighted to get going.
He will. Look at it. They're having adventures as they are now. If four lads can come in and sleep in the room from Kilkenny and Tipperary, they're going to be on.
I was barred from the... my first Irish college was in Inisir, Milanegaid, Ochado.
Right.
And I was barred from the reunion. So myself and Kieran White, we had to go to Mass.
Kieran de Fuita.
Yeah. we used to go to Mass every evening. And for some, like, we just got a fit of giggles one time at Mass. And we were sitting up at the front. And we were called into the headman's office. Now, I'm not sure if Cloisteann na bhFhéin was in charge of...
In the Seer.
But it was a... It was Seamus Liddy, God be good to him, was the man in charge. Was he a Cloisteann na bhFhéin?
No, but that he would, he ran some strict.
Yeah, so very strict. So we just got to fit the giggles at Mass. We were 12.
Yeah.
And we couldn't stop laughing at the priest and Mass and the whole jiggery pokery of it and the pronunciation of the words and how serious he was taking it and how countryfied he was. And we were on the rock in the middle of the fucking ocean. And we just, once you start, you can't stop. Stomach giggles, the pain. When you want to stop laughing and you can't, and the pain is just,
and you can hear the body beside you.
You can't even, and even if you hear the fella beside you breathe, you're gone for another 6 minutes, and your stomach is hurting you, and you can't be touching any part of his body because if you feel it start to vibrate, you're gone for another 6 minutes. And we were laughing and laughing and laughing, and we couldn't go for Holy Communion or nothing. We were in flitters, and then the fresh air outside and the relief of the Mass been over and the freedom and the peace and Seamus Liddy calling us back into the office and him saying to us, well, I suppose you think you're great boys coming down from Dublin. He spoke to us in English, so we knew we were really in trouble.
Yeah. Trouble.
And we said, we're not from Dublin, so we're from Navan. I suppose you think you're great boys coming down from Navan to laugh at the country people. To be laughing at the priest inside in the Holy Mass. To spend the whole 40 minutes giggling like sneers. Is that what you say? Pair of Navan sneers. And we said...
Did
no,
you
sir.
Want to laugh then?
No, because this is serious, man. He'd bathe
you. No, sir.
He'd bathe the head of you.
Right.
So that put an awful schmacht on the rest of the time. But I wept when we got the bus, the Nave Aoine back into Galway City and then the train up to Dublin. And I was very fond of a girl that you met. Was it Dervla or Dervil?
Yes.
You met her a couple of years ago. She was on the Irish Corsairs. Beautiful. What was her name? Derv.
Oh, yes.
What was her name?
Dervil.
Was a Dervla.
Good looking lassie.
Beautiful.
Now you're
posh
12.
Dublin.
She had a bit of a seancic, nuancic with you, did she?
Maybe a kind of a
dalliance.
A kind of a
island.
A country munge.
When you were 12 on the train?
No, on the island. Maybe in a field, Lawan, Tronon the.
Tefir Gumbala.
Tronon the Che. And then, so they had a reunion. In November, where everybody that was on the course would meet
for Big
Cayley. And we were so excited. And half the class in Navan went, and half the local Mercy convent first years went, and up to Dublin. And Daddy driving myself, we used to bring Kieran to school every day. And Daddy driving myself and Kieran up. And me half thinking, I wonder now, will that have any effect? Because your man said to me, you'll never come and do a course
but
here
again. But
he
did leave you there.
Send us home, but he did say to me,
he is well marked.
You'll never be allowed back here again.
Oh.
But I kind of put that at the back of my mind to do, because you're always hopeful as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, yeah.
And so you arrived up at this thing and you're seeing people walking into the building and you're hearing the Unsi na Hinsha, Bali Limni, and they're all dancing inside and you can't wait to get in and see Dervla again and all the people you had a great laugh with. And there's a fella on the door with a big list of names and he's ticking all the names off. And my father was always disappointed in me. I was always fucking letting him down.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I remember one time in Irish class in fourth year, we had a teacher called Miss Reed and we had to put the word scrúdaithe into a sentence, examination.
Mm.
Scrúdaithe. And I wrote that the doctor did an examination of the woman lying in the bed. Now, she was very upset at this and she told my form year man, whoever the fuck he was, and my father was called in from work because I wrote this sentence. And I remember him saying to me, thanks, Tom, I feel about this big.
Oh,
that was worse than giving out to you.
So I was always letting my father down. I was never the son he would have dreamed of. I was too contrary.
Yeah.
I was too much of the mother in me.
Right.
And Dad was sitting in the car and he says, I'll just see you go in there, because you'd be dropping Navin boys up to Dublin, leaving them on their own at a night, November night, age 12, like.
Oh, Jesus.
Kieran goes up and he gets in. And I say, Tommy Tiernan. And he says, your name's not here.
Oh, no.
And I go, Tomás.
Tomás McTiernan.
Tomás O'Hiernan. And he says, oh, yeah, your name is here. You're barred.
Neil Cadogat shocked us, Jack.
Stop it.
Stop, Tommy. And you can see them all inside.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed in, yeah.
So what did you do?
I went out and told my dad, and it just kind of compounded his sense of frustration.
What do you do there? You sit in the front of a 1980s car,
Hillman Hunter,
and turn on a bit of...
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, Tommy, how mean was that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially to see your old school pals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never went.
Well, I went twice then to Cloister Lurgan in Inverurie. But
did you ever see that man again?
No, but I brought his name up a few times out in the island, and they would have known.
Yeah,
I think he's passed away, and they would have. Oh yeah,
the Liddies.
Yeah, yeah.
Cross was he?
Yeah, maybe he was going through.
Rita, did you have any? Did you never get the opportunity? As a teenager,
I never went to the Gaeltacht. I don't know why, or maybe it was because it was. I had no interest in Irish, really. I never did in school. Like, we had a very good teacher in National School for Irish, and we were exceptionally good when we went into secondary school. So our Irish would have brought us to do our junior cert. Really, we were up to that level of Irish, so it was great. But once I went into the convent, I mean, you were getting taught from nuns that had absolutely now as much Heiden Irish, and it was. It was sort of.
Are there Gaeltachts in Mayo?
Yeah, Belmullet would be a.
Belmullet,
and Achill, I presume. Achill.
It's not as strong. Wouldn't be as many Gaeltachts as Donegal or Galway, but.
Galway, yeah.
There's a history of good Irish in
North
Mayo.
None of, like, my friends went to the Gaeltacht. The only ones that ever went to the Gaeltacht in school with me were ones that went on to become teachers or, you know, kind of like national school teachers. But I don't know, they must have known then that they wanted to do it. But it wasn't a massive thing. The Gaeltacht never went.
You see, if it's not in your school, if there's not a teacher driving it, and if it's not your friends going. Once
Noreen Walsh Hart. She was the one that sent us.
If there's a couple of friends going, it's the instant. Go back home and go, do you know who's going to
We used to love Noreen.
Yeah, we love Noreen. We love Noreen Walsh. Because that's the woman.
Because she was our Irish teacher.
Yeah,
and our music teacher.
And she wrote, she'd ask us to write an essay every Friday, and then you'd write the hardback copy, and you'd hand up the hardback copy. And
That was one of the great stories.
So she had a.
She had a lovely bloss. I do remember.
But it was definitely taught out of us in secondary school. We didn't have a big. It wasn't proper. Like, we had one good teacher I had for my Leaving Cert Irish, which was grand. But other than that, it was.
Like, you're remembering that Derville girl, and I know you have images in your head.
I can't remember her surname, but you met her recently.
I know, and she was fantastic looking.
Beautiful looking lady.
I remember
she'd be in her. So we were the same age back then, so she's probably 5 or 6 years older than me now.
See, I was getting more shifting. I was getting
more.
I was getting more action.
Oh, yeah.
At the Gaeltacht.
Yes, you
than I was in Diamonds. Or I was. Because I wasn't allowed out. It was 14, 15. I wasn't allowed out into the nightclubs yet in Navin. So I know a few little bits of shifting in Navin, but not. But at 14, 15, 16, I was cutting.
At the Gaeltacht.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And I was pushing boundaries. Oh. I was pushing boundaries.
Boundaries that were ready to be pushed.
It was like the Hill of Tara. My body was like the Hill of Tara.
It was like Columbus discovering America.
It was like.
And then you'd be going back to the boys, telling them all the exciting
stories.
Yeah,
and I remember vividly the couple of girls that I did strong lines with in the Gaeltacht. One was from Stillorgan. Her first name was Niamh, and I'm not going to give you her second name.
Why not?
She was like a model. She was a model, and she was into me. She was a model. And then the second one, there was another one from Dunboyne, and her first name was Nasa.
Oh, Nasa.
And then there was another one.
Nasa, take me to the moon.
Take me to the moon. There was another girl then that I fell head over heels in love with at 16 years of age.
Yeah.
And she was a Ord Kinner as well, which is a high coonter.
Oh, so you
which
were,
means at night time when everyone else is
oh,
in bed,
you were allowed
we
to
could
do.
Go down to the Seomra Fóinne, the staff room, for a cup of tea around 11.
Oh.
And there was almost like footsies in under the table and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd be looking around, like, it's Neil Aidan in on show.
No.
And then I'd give her the nod.
And, oh,
and she'd slip out of her Nazi uniform and mill you.
This girl went on to name? Be a ballet dancer, professional ballet dancer.
First name, what?
And I'm not going to
give supermodels and ballet dancers.
This girl was she was about to go to London.
This definitely happened.
She was about to go to London to study ballet, and that got my ears.
Oh, were you all flustered?
She
with that?
Was big into me.
She could put her hips behind her ears.
She was obviously into me because I had the sort of I had the hothouse flower look back then. It was the hippie.
Had you an earring?
The big gypsy earring. Totally. And I was getting more into my Celtic.
It was like a big geranium.
I was like my big inner patchouli oil Hector. I was into fucking. I was an Irish.
You were a charmer as well.
I was an Irish mystic and a charmer, and we went out with each other for the 3 weeks and a bit after that, but. At night time.
You reckon a cross between Mick Hucknall and Doughty O'Shea?
No, Mick Hucknall and Liam O'Malley, Tommy. Yeah. But then we'd meet at 2 a.m. on some little quiet area.
But it's the freedom of it, Hector.
Oh, man. Man.
And all summer nights in the West.
Imagine going to shift a bird, a girl, at the Gaeltacht at 1 a.m, slipping down these long passageways in boarding schools in the competing.
And your mother 400 miles away in a house in Navan.
And the thing is, you'd meet at the Boolam with Lekela, Egan, Shan Lehris, and Akalesh and Shea Bill.
And you had to arrange it during the day.
Yeah, and this is at 2 o'clock at night, creaking doors. And you'd run down the passageway. And then
creaky boards.
She'd be there doing her ballet stretches.
And then it would just be straight up against the wall for the heavy shift.
No chatting. Yeah.
And the lava going everywhere because the lava shakes, because the lava suits. Because the lava chin chin.
The Siege of Venice.
Oh, the Siege of Ballylimney, because Bunch and a Hinch, because Stacky Norna.
And
then half an hour later, oh, come it all, come it all, come it out. Yeah, Iwa. Fecky me homework. Slow on. Hey, could you rash it for a shift of one? And it was all French kissing, because French kissing back then was the fucking go-to in the 80s.
You're playing her like a double bass.
It was deep.
One hand down the back.
And the hand was gone, and there was another hand.
Working the big,
it was ambidextrous. It was working. And then it was just...
One old hand
I got cat
place.
Class and I got cat style.
It was going up and down. The Mickey was fucking throbbing. And it
was, can you imagine? Shit.
But the French kissing went on for days. It was like... Because... Those Special Olympics. and then back up you go to your little dormitory and hop into bed, into your little sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah.
And Tommy wasn't allowed to go
to those
things.
And the next day then you'd be getting your breakfast and you'd just look down to Borda Shea, where she was on charge of Borda Shea.
And would you give her
romance?
Or would you not pretend you knew her at all during the day?
She went on to be a professional ballet dancer in London for many, many years. Those were great days. And thanks to Trina. Thanks to Trina
for the memories. For getting us
there. And would you ever Google her now, see what she looks like? Where she's at?
Maybe a couple of years ago, I tried to look on Facebook. I can't find them. They're all probably married and they don't look a thing like they did when they were 60.
Speak for yourselves.
No, some of them don't, but some of them do. But you don't, I wouldn't recognise them. But what I recognise is the imagery in my head and their names and their parishes and those moments.
What would happen if you did?
Moments. Somebody's listening to this now. It's no more than Freddie with the car when he was in Bettystown and all that.
No, what would happen now
if, you know, I was the woman in the front of the car?
What would happen now is people in your mid-50s, if you tried to reenact it? Try to reenact,
What? The Shifton?
Yeah. Like meeting someone down at Boolamish Lekela.
In Akalesh and Shapel.
Yeah.
Like a Shan Lehris.
Imagine 2 50-year-olds meeting down a lane at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Imagine 2 50-year-olds texting you. I'll meet you at the back of the GA club over by the
Maybe
wall.
They do, some 50-year-olds.
Maybe. But sure, isn't that how dogging and all that started?
Oh, how the fuck did it come out of that?
No, but that's what older people go dogging, don't they?
Older people? Well, I don't know anything about it.
I'll meet you at the car park at Dunedee Forest Park. I'll meet you at the back of the football.
It's like our mothers and others group. Who's out tonight? Like, what's happening? Who's coming to the hall? Is that the sort of stuff that we've been going into the WhatsApp
group?
Great memories to have, man.
Yeah, but that's why I loved the Gaeltacht. Yes, I was loving the Irish language, but I was also freedom. I had my love life. My love life was freedom.
Brilliant. That's a good one. Have we a name for the show? Because I got one from
go ahead.
Dermot Hillary, who's in Sydney in Australia, and he says Tina Turner.
Tina in T-Y-N-A-G-H.
Slán.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.